Hello there, and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This ministry is brought to you by the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash in Churchill. If you have any questions or you want to know what the Wash and Word is, you can go to our website, washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the Hand Car Wash, and we've got a great couple of guys that help us, our son and Elijah. From our church, young man, these guys do a great job on your car. We're very particular about who we hire, and we're very particular about the job that we do. And we want to make sure that every car that drives out of here is not only a driving billboard for our business, but it is a testimony and a witness for God. And that's what this business is. We are a ministry first. We do verse-by-verse Bible teaching here at the Wash and Word. We play these messages on a loop. And they go out on a small radio transmitter. So if you come into the Wash and Word, whether you're in the parking lot waiting to get your car washed, or you're over by Pal's or by the library or at the Homestead Antique Store, wherever you are in this parking lot, if you turn to 107.1 FM any time of the day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching. And we do this because we want the Word of God to go out there. We looked around and we said to ourselves, you know what? This world doesn't need another church. It needs more of the Word of God. So we created the car wash as an alternate way of getting God's Word out into the public ear. So once again, whether you get your car wash or not, come by the Wash and Word, tune to 107.1 FM, and listen, because God may have a word for you. And we do verse by verse because we want to preach all of God's Word. Somewhere along the line, people decided that it's okay to just preach some of the Bible. And it's never okay to take parts of the Bible out. So by doing verse by verse, we cover everything and we leave nothing out. And that, of course, means that sometimes you're going to hear stuff you don't want to hear. And it means that I'm going to preach on stuff I don't want to preach about. But too bad. God didn't give us an option to pick and choose His Word like it's some kind of buffet. So that's what we do here at the Wash and Word. If you have any questions about the business or the ministry, go to washandword.com or call 423-920-0913. That's 423-920-0913. All right, we're in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, to the last chapter in the book, and we're going to look at the very last part of that. The last two messages, this is kind of a part C or a part three of the final 20 verses in chapter 16 that we looked at over the last couple of days. So if you missed them, you can go to washandword.com and you can download and listen to for free any of our archive messages if you want to catch up. So the last thing we left off talking about was faith, and we spent a lot of time on that, so we're just going to move on for that. But we're taking a few of the things Paul said at the end of this letter, and we're using them as a way to draw some application out of this final part of the letter. And most of the epistles end with personal greetings. And when you end with personal greetings, it's kind of hard to find some application. But Paul left us a lot of it here at the end of 1 Corinthians. And just by way of quick review, he said, there's no substitute for tithing your time. He said that opposition is opportunity, something we don't often see. He said to always be on your guard. We looked at that in our last message. And to stand firm. We know that when you stand for Jesus, you have to stand firm because you will have opposition, which leads us back to the point we just made, that opposition is actually opportunity. And it all ties together. Again, we've spent a lot of time on this, so go to washandword.com to hear those messages. And we left off with remaining faithful, but now we're going to pick it up. And next thing Paul says, he says to be courageous. Be courageous. And this is important because we have to be courageous. We can't be fearful if we're going to stand firm in our faith and stand firm for the truth. And something I noticed over the last 15 years of my ministry and being a pastor and teaching God's Word is that fear is gripping and it can be immobilizing. And so being courageous can be applied to so many aspects of our Christian walk. So rather than try to categorize them, you know, by saying, well, be courageous when you're publicly speaking or you're standing up against atrocities, or be courageous in your trusting of the Lord or in your letting go of something, and be courageous of going out and being a street evangelist or stepping out and speak, you know, whatever the category we could put the word courageous before. Let's sum it up this way. Mark Twain said, courage is not the absence of fear. It is acting in spite of it. So think about that. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's not about not being afraid, but it's doing something in the fear. That is to, first of all, think about it. Without fear, there can be no courage, right? So in order to be courageous, there has to be fear that we are butted up against. It's sort of a yin and yang kind of thing that goes together. Without fear, there can be no courage. Jesus never showed courage. Someone might say, what? No, listen, not that he was a coward, not that he never displayed courage, but Jesus was never scared. And again, without fear, there can be no courage. We're not Jesus. We have plenty to fear. And it's not saying, courageous isn't saying, well, don't fear anything. It's saying, act against the fear with courage. See, when we live completely dependent upon God, then we can live in courage. And that's what Jesus did. Every aspect of your Christian walk is tainted with or otherwise associated with or randomly controlled by fear. And when it's an unsurrendered fear, the devil can use that. Adrian Rogers tells about a man who bragged that he had cut off the tail of a man-eating lion with his pocket knife. When asked why he hadn't cut off the lion's head, the man replied, well, someone had already done that. Cute. So, listen, Jesus has already beheaded the dragon. So we just need to walk around cutting off the tail of the dead foe. So use your fear to attack your weakness. And your weaknesses are the areas of fear. So this leads me to addressing our weaknesses that are identified by our fear. So be courageous in spite of fear. And that leads us to the next thing Paul said, and that is to be strong. Be strong. So we're reading out of chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. A lot of this stuff is coming right out of verses 13 and 14. So he says, be strong. You know, as a minister of God's word, if I'm going to preach all of his word, I've got to be strong. And you have to be strong if you're going to stand firm for the truth and not compromise them. Hey, listen, if you want to compromise the truth of God's word, you don't need to be strong. You don't even need to be courageous. It's easy to compromise. And it's easy for me to tell you, hey, be strong. I mean, we've all heard scriptures about being strong in the Lord, and the Lord is our strength. But have you ever asked yourself, what does that really mean? Again, without categorizing different areas of strength, like I said earlier in regards to fear and courage, you know, I'm not going to say be strong in temptation or be strong in your trusting or be strong when you're... It's not about categorizing where we can be strong, but to generalize it. And I started thinking again about the strength and about Jesus. And I thought the greatest display of strength that Jesus showed, listen, was not in his miracles. It wasn't in the exorcism of demons. It wasn't in his 40 days of fasting. It wasn't in all the different teachings. The greatest strength, display of strength that Jesus ever showed was his patience. His patience. And since the beginnings of the foundations of the world, Jesus patiently waited for his time. And on earth, he waited for his time. Even when he said to his mother, woman, my time has not yet come, he knew he had a time for everything he was meant to do. Even now, he is waiting patiently for his return. Jesus was always waiting for the right time, and he still is in regards to his return. And so strength in the Lord is the ability, or should I say choice, to wait on God. Do you, when Paul says be strong, let's change that to let's be patient and waiting on the Lord. Because friends, to be patient in today's society, that is an awesome display of strength, isn't it? I mean, we're all waiting for something. It seems like life is just one wait after another. We might as well learn to be patient because we're going to spend a lot of time waiting, whether it's in line at Walmart or an answer to prayer. And Paul says the next thing he says, to do everything in love. Here's an important one. You know, of all the things that I've learned about being a pastor and a minister is that Christians, myself included, do less things in love than we would care to admit, don't we? I mean, the truth is, even mature believers are prone and often fall victim to basing their actions and motives on things that best serve their own needs. Hey, don't beat yourself up about it. It's not right, but it's also human nature. You know, we're naturally going to do the things that make us feel better or make our lives easier. But if we can heed Paul's advice, do everything in love, then we're going to be on the right path to where we need to go. Right now, my listeners are divided into two groups of people. Those who are denying the fact that what I just said, saying that they're not selfishly led, and then there are those who know it and are ashamed of it and are trying to fix it. But again, listen, it's not entirely our fault. Our flesh is strong and we war against it daily. And so we just have to keep fighting. Why do we do that? Well, we be courageous. We stand firm. We do all the things Paul just talked about. And again, you can get those messages at washandword.com. Click on the media tab and you can hear the last few messages. And we covered all that already. Now, one of the scriptures, actually the scripture that defines the Wash and Word, is 1 Corinthians 10:31. Paul says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And so we wash cars for the glory of God, and you may do whatever else it is. Whatever it is you do, it doesn't matter. He says, do it for the glory of God. All right, so the last thing we're going to look at of 1 Corinthians, and I hate to go out on this note, but the more I learn about people, the less I know about people. And here it is. People are generally ungrateful, unappreciative, and self-serving. People are generally ungrateful, unappreciative, and self-serving. And you may say, well, why are you ending the book of 1 Corinthians like this? Because if you don't know that, if you don't know that that's what people generally are, you are going to get torn down, ripped apart, dismayed, depressed, discouraged, even bitter, angry, and mistreated and become insensitive. And you may get so far into those things, you may not come back. So we need to understand that people go from blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna, to crucify him. Those same people that said that said crucify him a week later. And that's how people are. And if we don't at least have an understanding of that, we could easily become so torn down so fast that we may not recover and just become eternally bitter. Have you ever met eternally bitter people? They're just naturally like that. That's because they had wrong expectations of how people normally are. So what do you do about people who are ungrateful, unappreciative, and self-serving? You love them anyway. That's what you do. You love them anyway. People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness will make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People need help but may attack you if you try to help them. Help them anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them to begin with. Well, that does it, friends. That is the end of the book of 1 Corinthians. If you continue to listen to me, you're going to find that we're going to end up going through the whole Bible eventually. We're going to take the letters of John in our next few teachings, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Jude. Those will be our next teachings. So join me again tomorrow. We'll do this all over again. Come to the Washing Word. Let us work to earn the money it takes to keep this ministry alive. And finally, join me at Abundant Life Fellowship Sundays at 6 p.m., 415 Old Union Road for live verse-by-verse Bible teaching. Have a blessed day.